Jack Stanton, played by John Travolta, a more than Clinton-esque United States governor of a southern state, is on the presidential primary campaign trail. Jack is surrounded by aides, advisors, fixers, his ambitious wife, Susan, played by Emma Thompson, and a whole lot of scandal. But Jack Stanton has a way about him, and he uses that southern comfort as a means to distract the public into believing that he deeply cares about their problems. Young Henry Burton, played by Adrian Lester, is a political idealist and grandson of a famous civil rights leader. At film's open, Henry finds himself seduced by the candidate's warmth and empathy, in spite of his misgivings about joining the campaign. Henry's ride is our ride as we travel the country campaigning, dodging scandal, and navigating the moral booby traps that come with the desire to win by any means necessary. Directed by Mike Nichols with a screenplay by longtime collaborator Elaine May, Primary Colors is derived from the 1996 novel by Joe Klein. The novel was originally published as anonymous and is a fictional recounting of the Clinton primary campaign in 1992. Primary Colors was released in 1998 at the tail end of the Clinton administration, itself marred by a torrent of scandal and impeachment proceedings. The novel at the time was widely read, and there was a lot of fanfare around the release of Primary Colors, the film. In his 1998 review, Roger Ebert described Primary Colors as, quote, a superb film, funny, insightful, and very wise about the realities of political life. A, quote, grown-up film about real issues in the real world. Well, it is now 2024, and with the primaries long over, Election Day is here. And this morning on The Old Mole, we discussed this widely praised 26-year-old film. The actual Clinton presidency has come and gone, but the residue of that administration contributed greatly to the rise of neoconservatism, right-wing populism, Trumpism, and the MAGA movement of today. But we promise, we picked Primary Colors because we wanted to turn down the heat a bit and have some fun. So, Jan, this film is billed as a comedy drama written by Elaine May and directed by Mike Nichols, both of them longtime collaborators. They're well known for films like Birdcage, for one. They do have a long history writing comedy. Mike Nichols directed Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? He directed The Graduate. Elaine May, Heaven Can Wait, again, Birdcage, and a film that's maybe lesser known called The Heartbreak Kid. So they had a longtime collaboration. They worked in comedy. And we both thought that it is a good film. It's held up well enough, would you say?
Yeah, I think it was a solid piece of political satire, and particularly sexual politics and American-style campaigning. And we can certainly see over the decades how the right wing in this country has lost its political virginity, is not only in the position of exposing sexual scandals among liberals, some of which are based on prejudices, such as outing gay politicians, but also welcoming and embracing wholeheartedly convicted sexual predators, such as Donald Trump.
Yes, we've come a long way, haven't we?
Yeah, they've come a long way and kind of shown their true colors, their primary colors. This film interested me because there's so much to unpack around the idea of a sexual scandal and how it both boosts and defeats a political campaign, particularly a national campaign. And I think Bill Clinton was a distinctive political candidate because as a white guy from the South, governor of Arkansas, he really appropriated Southern blackness. And it's interesting how he could do that, be described even by Toni Morrison as the first black president for his love of jazz, his love of junk food, and kind of his working class roots growing up poor. But interestingly enough, our actual first black president, Obama, and our soon-to-be first woman black president, Kamala Harris, could never have the kind of sexual incontinence or even project sexuality in the way Bill Clinton did. That actual black politicians have to be extremely scrupulous about their sexual behavior because they can't indulge in the kind of stereotypes of black sensuality that Bill Clinton himself exuded. It's interesting how race and sexuality kind of intersect in the political life of this country and the political imaginary of this country.
Right. And the film does begin with the introduction of Henry. He's the son of the famous civil rights leader. And the film introduces race really immediately, and it shows Jack Stanton with Black Americans, regular folks. You know, he's got his friends who own the rib joint. They go there regularly. They seem to spend a lot of time in that restaurant. They put him in places where he is shown to have compassion for the plight of Black people. There's an early scene where they go to a literacy program and they talk with folks who are waitresses and they work in security or they work in construction, and they're all talking about how this literacy program has helped them and lifted them up. And then, of course, Jack Stanton, as Bill Clinton was able to do as well, uses stories from his life to make those connections and to build the relationship and to really demonstrate his true compassion, quote unquote, let's say, for the plight of folks who are from racially oppressed groups.
Yeah, and he was big on public education. Education and healthcare were important parts of his early campaigning and his political platform. He did, after losing an election for governor, come back with being an important spokesperson for the New Democrats, as they were called, moving to the right. And I think the many seductions of Bill Clinton were very much on display in the film, not only by the exposés around his affairs and sexual seductions on the side, but how he seduced in New Hampshire a group of union members who were distressed about the loss of jobs in this country, you know, the rise of neoliberalism in the late 20th century and the free trade agreements that many workers in manufacturing jobs suffered under. And he gives this speech to these union members saying, "I'm not going to lie to you, the economy in the world is different now. Those jobs are not coming back. But I promise you, if you work hard and go back to school, I will be there with you to find your place in the new economy." And that was kind of the core of Clinton's politics, was personal responsibility. He signed one of the most conservative Republican-sponsored welfare reform bills in history in the 90s that made work a requirement for welfare for many people. I remember when he came to actually give the commencement address in 1998 at Portland State University, which was kind of a big thing, having the president of the country come. And many of the faculty and students didn't stand up when he came onto the podium because of the Monica Lewinsky scandal. Well, Johanna Brenner and I were both on the faculty there, and we didn't stand, but not because of the Lewinsky scandal, but because of his reactionary welfare policies that were so terrible for particularly working class and poor women. But I think that the seductions in this film were kind of twofold. One was the folksy style that ushered in this new, sexier form of Democratic politicians, and also the ways in which sexual scandals seduce us into looking the other way around the policy positions, Democrats particularly.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting in the film. Of course, scandal management is really the driver of the film, and it creates these moral dilemmas for both the Henry character and the Libby character, who's played outstandingly by Kathy Bates. She does such a great job, and she's fitting because she's a very strong kind of drama and comedy actress. But we get this sense of the policy from the dialogue in the film, which they're doing a very more fictionalized version of the novel. And there's been a lot of talk about the softening of some of what is in the actual novel versus what comes out in the film. But there isn't a lot of focus on the actual policies. And as you pointed out, Bill Clinton's policies, he may have been considered by Toni Morrison as the greatest black president we've ever had, but he was also
First.
considered the greatest Republican president we've ever had. As you mentioned, the welfare reform bill, but also the crime bill and NAFTA. So those policies that he enacted were damaging to the constituents that he woos, both in the real campaign and in the film. Those folks come out on the raw end. And I think, as I mentioned in the intro, those policies resonate in the movements now, the reactionary movements, the conservative right populist movements in this country, because people did lose their jobs and they did not come back. And Clinton and the Democrats wore that badge.
Yeah, and I think in closing, it's important to recognize that the support for Kamala Harris among many progressives is very much tempered by her policies in alignment with Biden around supporting Israel and militarism. And so I think young people who lean to the left or are trying to find their place in the Democratic Party are less seduced than many Democrats in the 90s in the Clinton era. So there's hope for the future, I think, including within and beyond this campaign.
Right. And I think we recommend the film because it is a little bit of a romp through a campaign. And there's a lot that is funny and, the ridiculousness of running a political campaign,
And we get to see
including its
Emma
missteps.
Thompson's endless varying hairstyles, which is always a
Right. Yes.
Hillary Clinton and her endlessly trying out different hairstyles. There's a lot of kind of poking fun in this film.
There is, Kathy Bates' character is gay. She calls herself a gay lesbian woman. There's a lot of stuff in this. I mean, it's 1998. It's not like it was the dark ages, but it's still fun. And it also, I think, reminds us that things were not so great then for
No,
politics
no
and for running a
kidding.
campaign, but that's nothing compared to what we're dealing with at the moment. The rancor and
The
the
desperation of the right wing is another way of thinking about this. Just the very regressive sexual politics and displays of Trump and the troop that follows him around, I think is a symptom of a kind of decline of the right as well. So,
Yeah, the thrashing beast.
yes,
That's where
right.
we are at the
Okay, but
moment.
we recommend the film. It's a kind of
We do.
a
Yeah.
way to have a little respite.
Yeah. And Jan, thank you for inviting me to come back to the old mole for a moment, and we'll have to do this again.
Yeah, for sure.
This is Denise Morris. I'm with Jan Hocken this morning talking about the 1998 film Primary Colors.